received the Spirit of God, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So when we received the spirit of bondage, I think that's talking about when we were born in sin, conceived in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth into the womb, speaking lies. Now, there's not many religious organizations that really believe that. But that's what the scriptures teach. That we are sinful people, and when we conceive children, they come forth with a sinful nature. And therefore, we sin not to become sinful. But we sin because we are sinners. We're both of them. Right? And now they teach that, you know, you're innocent until you're 12 or 13 years old, somewhere around in there, and then you become, to the age of responsibility, and then you become accountable for your deeds and your actions. But that's 180 degrees opposite of what the scriptures teach. And I used to work in a public place and used to discuss these things with a lot of different people. And they just did not want to believe that little children were born with a sinful nature. And I have to admit that a little child is one of the most precious things that we have in this world. And they are most innocent that there'll ever be as a little infant, and most precious, with no doubt about that. But in spite of that, they will lie. In other words, they'll cry when they're really not hurting to get your attention. And I think that's what the scriptures are speaking of, and the way we come forth from the womb speaking lies. And it's just the nature of sin. Therefore, we are in bondage to that. But when Christ, after fulfilling the law for 33 and a half years, I believe it was, and he put away sin when he died on the cross. That is, he put away, as far as you and I are concerned, the condemnation of sin. For the scripture says that Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so if Christ is the end of the law, and I understand that word end there is the same word translated out of the Greek as perfect or finished. It can be translated any of those three ways. So Christ is not only the end of the law, but he perfected the law. And he finished the legal condemnation of the law for his children that were under its curse. When he was made a curse, hung upon a tree, cursed with good one, hung upon a tree. When he hung upon a tree, under the curse of God, he made an end to the condemnation of the law. He fulfilled. He was punished. He satisfied the demand of the law when he died. The soul that sinneth, it shall die when he died. When he died, he satisfied the law. Now, beloved, if you're in Jesus, the law has no more condemnation over you. Can you imagine the state of being free from the curse of the law? That's exactly what happened when Christ suffered in the ruined state of his people. He satisfied the just demands of the justice of God. Every jot and tittle. He satisfied it so much that God raised him from the dead. And not only that, but he welcomed him back into his presence. And when he arrived, he sat down. Now Jesus is our great high priest.
when the high priest in the law service, when he went into the Holy of Holies once a year and that with blood. He couldn't go in there without blood. There was no chair in there to sit down. And he ministered and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. To tell me he sprinkled it north and south and east and west. Made a cross. And then he came out. There was no place to sit down. But Jesus, when he appeared before God with his own blood, he sat down. And there's never no more a sacrifice that need to be offered. For he has satisfied the law. He made one sacrifice in the end of the world and has justified his people before his heavenly Father. And the law now has no more condemnation. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. It's when we're under the curse of the law, when we feel the guilt of the transgression of the law in our soul. That's when we see God as the judge. We don't cry, Abba Father. Abba Father just means Father, Father. Abba means Father. So when the scripture says he cried, Abba Father, that's just saying Father, Father, really. But when you're viewing God as a judge, under the law, you don't call him Father. He's the judge. And there's a spirit of fear there. The spirit of bondage and the spirit of fear. Paul said, we have not received that again anymore. We receive that when we were born of Adam because of our sinful nature. It's just as natural. For man is his sinful nature to sin, as it is to breathe, because of his nature. I left the illustration, I've used it many times, but if you had a little roasted pig, a beef roast, and you set it down in front of a wolf or a dog, he'll eat it, because it's his nature to eat meat. But you set it down in front of a calf, and he'll just smell it and walk away. That's not his nature to eat people. And so when we are born in sin, it's our nature to rebel against God and say, I'll do it my way, thank you. And not to seek the righteousness of God or to obey his commandments. We are born with that independent and rebellious spirit. And so there is a fear. And we are not deceived again, he says, fear, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. There's a very spirit in our soul and spirit man that lusts to cry, Abba Father. We see God as a father that we love, but yet there's a fire of fear there. We fear to transgress against him because we love him. And so the fear, the bondage, is when we view God as a judge. That is, we love him sin. We have that nature to sin, and we know that sin is wrong, and we see and know that all the time that God is our judge, and that he will make retribution for those that sin. And so there's a spirit of fear there. He said, we have not received again the spirit of fear and bondage, but we have received the spirit about it. Well, beloved, you know, they say familiarity breeds contempt. And after years of saying your prayers when you go to bed, you may not think about it, beloved. But it's a wonderful liberty to close your eyes at night in fear, I can say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And to have the assurance in you that your Father is listening to you. Knowing that because of what his Son done, he will, his ear will hear your cry. And he will attend to your prayers when they are within the will of God. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. To lay down in peace and to have the peace of God, the peace of conscience. It's a wonderful thing. I can remember after I made a profession of faith and felt like the Lord was hearing my prayers, and the people that wrote would tell me, said, John, said, you've changed. And I said, yes. I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with myself. I'm at peace with my wife. And I'm at peace with my neighbor, if you're lucky. The peace of God that passeth understanding. Before that, my soul and heart was like a troubled sea, churning up dirt and my day and night. It was always thinking about something that I could do, that I wanted, some kind of a passion or desire I could fulfill. How could I rattle this? How could I do that? Get around the law and so many other things that I had been taught to do. But how sweet it is to surrender to the command of God. Feel like that he is your friend and not your judge and your enemy. That's receiving the spirit of adoption. When you feel like that God is your Father, Jesus Christ is your friend, the Holy Spirit is your leader, you have grace upon grace upon grace, day after day after day, where before there was toil and trouble and one situation after another. Just turn it up, mile and dirt, day or night. No wonder he says that the peace of God passeth understanding. Who's able to understand that peace that's never experienced it? There's just no way you can understand the peace of God if it's not been a part of yourself. And so we receive the spirit of adoption and not the spirit of fear. And now we feel like that our soul and our spirit has been adopted, and we're waiting for these sinful bodies to be adopted. We're yet in these sinful bodies, and we cannot escape from his presence. But yet, in these times of affliction, we have hope. And the scripture says we are saved by hope. We have a neighbor that says that she knows she's going to die. And she says she's a believer, and therefore she knows she's going to die. And I tell her I know what the scriptures say. Mine says he's writing these things that he might know we have eternal life. But he says unto you that believe I'm writing these things. And so there's belief in God, but man, we don't have perfect belief. We don't have perfect knowledge. We are not yet in a state of perfection. And so therefore there is bound to be doubts, because there is sin yet in our lives. Where there is sin, there is not perfection. And we cannot have perfect knowledge and perfect satisfaction that everything is set to that end. If we could, God would be in faith and hope. If you have perfect knowledge and you know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you do not need faith. You do not need hope. No. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. if you already know these things, then that thing's not sin. You are already perfected in your mind. But it's the same old story over and over. As I said, we worked in a public place and discussed these things audibly many times. But until the Lord opens up the understanding, there's just no way that you can believe these things the way they go back to sin. If there is some way, I've certainly done everything I know how to convince people and to tell them. But as the brother said this morning, it has to be revealed. In other words, Apostle Paul said that when he went off in Arabia, I thought he was out there 3 years, and he said that he received it not of man, neither was he taught it of man, but he received it by revelation. Now I realize that the Bible is complete and there's not any more being revealed to add to the Bible. But if you are living in unbelief, and then something happens to you and you begin to believe the scriptures, actually what they say, that's a revelation to you, brother. It may not be new in the Bible, but it's certainly new to you. And it's a revelation. And it's an education. It's something that you don't forget. And it's something that changes your life. And so the receiving of the adoption, the spirit of adoption, we have received the spirit of adoption. We have not been actually adopted yet in our body. I believe that we have been adopted, our spirits, our soul has been adopted. I've read that the soul is something that we communicate with men. I mean, that's what makes humans humans. They're a higher order than animals because they have a soul. They can understand the language. They can learn to write. They have a memory. You can learn history, where you come from, and your parents come from. And these things is what makes you human above an animal who just existed to eat and to reproduce. That's all animals live for, eat and reproduce. That's all they know. But we have memories. We know our ancestors. We know about history. We know about God. We know good, right, and wrong. That's what makes us human. And that's what makes us made in the image of God. And so with our soul, we communicate one with another in a human capacity. And with our spirit, we communicate with God, who is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God is a spirit. And that's why he has given us our spirit. And he said, we have not received the spirit. It says the spirit must capitalize. That's the Holy Spirit. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. That spirit, that second spirit is not capitalized. The spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. That's how we communicate with God, is by the spirit. That's what sets man in a higher order, I believe, than animals. Because we know right from wrong. We know good from evil. We are moral people, moral creatures. And we know God. We know things about God. We believe there is a God. And we believe that there's going to be an end to time. And we will stand before God. Therefore, that makes you a moral creature and subject to the law of God and subject to hear the gospel of God after he has renewed your spirit, after you have received the spirit. The spirit capitalized. The spirit, the Holy Spirit, bear witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So Christ, if we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, he says, I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, I'm in you, you in me. If we are in Christ, all that's his is ours. We're heirs and joint heirs. The Father has given all power unto him. He says, all things are mine. And then Paul says, all things are yours, because we are Christ. All things are his, therefore all things are ours. And we're heirs and joint heirs with him. So that means that his wisdom, his power, his knowledge, all that he has and does is for us. If we are in him, he's doing it for us, and we are doing it with him. And then all things that are his are ours. And we cry to his Father and our Father, to his God and our God, Abba Father. And we can go to Abba Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Spread our prayers and supplications before him. Lay down in peace that he hears our cry. What a wonderful Savior you have. What a wonderful gospel you have. What wonderful good news it is to believe that God is our Father. He's not like the Jews was in the Old Testament. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Jesus said, when you pray, pray after this one, our Father. God is our Father. May God add his blessing.
Say one verse
that
I'd like to keep for me. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation, by Spirit and the Word. From him he came and saw her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died.
Or the Bobby Lottimer, from Old Mill Church, comes to speak to us next.
Thank God for this service so far. Thank God for his people. There's no people like God's people in all the world. I asked a preacher this one time, how would you like to be the only child of God in this whole world the way you know the world is? That'd be sad, wouldn't it? I'm glad to have brothers and sisters. Not only brothers and sisters, but them that are called brothers and sisters. Black faith and all. That's sweet, isn't it? I'm glad we're not under judicial law. I'm glad that we're under parental law, like the brother said. I don't have to worry about standing before God as a criminal. But day by day, I stand before God, and I'm chasing by him as a father, and I'm his child. Please pray for me. I'm, like the brother said this morning, I'm nervous. My heart's beating real fast. My hands get all sweaty. I never have got too big that I don't need God. I never have got too educated that I don't need God. And I need his presence very much. If you have your Bibles, will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? If God's presence is with me, there ain't no place I'd rather be than in the pulpit. But when he ain't with me, I'm like my daddy said, I'd rather be in a stub hole than a stub pulled in on top of that guy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Well, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I pulled away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. This brother was talking about hope a while ago. He mentioned some things that's on my mind. I'm glad when God blesses the service, everything just works together, don't it? I haven't always believed in hope, not as strong as I do now. You see, I came from another order. I hadn't always been a Primitive Baptist. I came to the Primitive Baptist in 1989. When I came, I had to sell everything that I had, though. You know, you can't afford to be a Primitive Baptist unless you sell everything you got. But I found a treasure in the field. And that treasure was great. I went home and I sold everything just for that treasure. I ain't been sorry about it since. But I have a great hope in the Lord. I'm not ashamed of my hope. I'm not one of those that know so, though. Where I came from, that's all I heard about. I know that I'm a child of God. And if you don't know that you're a child of God, then you're really not a child of God. That's just evidence that you're not a child of God. If you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God, then maybe you're not a child of God. I know this ain't going to never happen, but just think, for instance, and I asked a person this. If you know without a shadow of a doubt you're going to heaven, if an angel of the Lord was to bring the book of life and set it over there in the corner, and you had a flashlight and it was dark outside, would you go over and see if your name was in that book? If you would, you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. But the Bible says that we know in part. The Bible says we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. But that's in part, isn't it? The Bible says in another place, Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day, but he knows in part. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building in the heavens not made by hand, but we know in part. Even in the Old Testament, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, but Job knowed in part, just like you and I. You don't know without a shadow of a doubt. What is part? That's just a portion. We know just a little bit about it. But I want us to notice the difference between now and then. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. I don't know without a shadow of a doubt I'm a child of God. I know it in part. And when I preach to the congregation at Old Mill, I'm prophesying in part. I don't prophesy without a shadow of a doubt either. But it's a hope. But when that which is perfect is come, then. Listen to that word then. But when that which is perfect, when will that which is perfect is come? It's not now. It's after we get to heaven. That's when that which is perfect is come. I know the Bible mentions the word perfect through the scripture several times, and it don't mean in heaven, but it means maturity in God's word. Paul said one time, and when I came to you, I came not with the ecstasy of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But he said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. And that word perfect there means mature or full age. But here it's talking about heaven, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. it's not going to be until then either. We have hope in this life. I like the scripture the brother mentioned a while ago. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever thought about that just for a minute? Somebody's got evidence of something that you can't see. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, why we look not on things that are seen, but things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Now, tell me what a paradox that is. If you're not a child of God, you can't even speak of these things. I mean, you're talking about things that you can't see, and you're talking about looking on things that you can't see. Only a child of God can talk about these things. Things that you can't see. The Bible says through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. We weren't there when God created the heavens and earth. How do we know that it was God that created the heavens and earth? We understand it by faith, don't we? We look through an eye of faith. It's with that eye that's not this eye here. I ain't never heard it called faith eyes before. It's always faith eye. It's single. My eyes, what my body sees with. Well, what does my soul see with? My soul sees with faith. If a man is not born to the Spirit of God, he ain't got nothing to see with. No wonder they can't understand the scripture when you talk to them about it. Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. No wonder he can't know them. He can't even see them. Well, give me one clear scripture where the Bible says that he can't see them. There was a man called Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night, and he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know what Jesus said unto him? Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Did you hear it? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. It said kingdom of God there. Now we know Nicodemus saw it face to face, didn't he? He came to Jesus by night. Even though it was night, he could still see him because he was talking to him face to face. Well, what kind of sight was he talking about? Except a man be born again, he cannot see. A man cannot see spiritual things unless he's born again of God's Spirit. He's got to have something to see with. Therefore, if the gospel's preached to him, he's not going to have it. Why is he not going to have it? He can't see what the preacher's talking about. He's got to have something to see with. When God born a person again, he give him an eye to see with. He's got something to see with. A lot of people now, they don't want to see it. There's a lot of people in the other orders, they don't want to see it. But thank God for those that want to see it. Them that are hungry, just dying to see it. You know, since God brought me to the old Baptist church, the more I see, the more I want to see. It's kind of different from natural hungry, ain't it? When I ain't had nothing to eat for a while, my stomach gets to hurt. I get to want something to eat. That's when I ain't had nothing. Now, when I ain't had nothing spiritual and I stayed out of church for two or three Sundays, I don't want anything to eat. But I'll tell you, when I'm the hungriest, the more I eat, the more I want. The more I see by faith, the more I... Now, there's a lot of people today, they're bringing new things into the house of God, and it's not things seen by faith. People wants to take away the things that you see by faith, bringing the balls in. Bring in the Sunday school. Bring in the special singers. Anything that attracts the natural eye, bring it in because we need the numbers. What's happened to the eye of faith? We want the eye of people to see with an eye. Somebody said, you ain't got nothing for children out. We got just as much for children as we have grown folks. You just can't see them with a natural eye, can you? It's just as much there. There's much there for the child, little child, that's born of the Spirit as there are for the old folks. You just can't see them with a natural eye. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. You know what substance means? Sub is like a submarine. It goes down. You know what the word stance? That's whole things up. Did you know if you couldn't see with an eye of faith, you wouldn't have nothing to hold up your hope? You wouldn't have a thing to hold up your hope. Well, why in the world would you have hope in something that you don't know nothing about? But you see these things without faith, and that's holding up your hope. I like what the brother said a while ago, for we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Why in the world would you hope for something that you see? It's reality. It's reality. There's a man one time, he kneeled down beside of his bed, and he prayed every night that God would bring his boy home from the war. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he believed that God was going to bring him home. And you know what? One day that boy came walking in, and you know what happened? He didn't have to believe he was going to come home no more. It was reality. He was there. He was there. It was reality. Away done the faith. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is apart shall be done away with. You see what I'm saying? When you get to heaven, all this faith and hope is going to be done away with. But we need it here in this life. I can't survive without looking by faith. I can't survive all the tribulation and the troubles here in this life unless I can see Jesus with an eye of faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's not only the beginning, he's the end. If I started writing a book and I just wrote it and got halfway done and somebody else had to finish it, I'd be a co-author. But Jesus is not a co-author. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He done it all. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, a lot of people in this world, they just know they're going to heaven when life is over. They just know it without a shadow of a doubt. And they preach to their congregation, unless you know that you're a child of God, you need to make sure. They call on. You know, people in this world, or even primitive Baptists, they're so scared about hurting somebody's feelings. You know, it come from another order. But you know, if I get up here and I'm worried all the time I'm preaching that I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings from another order, I'm not going to have the freedom of the Spirit. Because I'm going to be worried about that so much, of hurting somebody's feelings. How come we don't let God handle the thing? You know, before I ever came to the old Baptist, I got my feelings hurt. But you know, God was in the matter. And when God's in the matter, no matter if you got your feelings hurt, you're going to come. You ever thought about Satan? The Bible said in the 4th chapter, I think it is, of Matthew, Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and that seemed like a trial all through the Bible, don't it? 40 days. Wasn't it 40 days and 40 nights it rained in Noah's day? Wasn't it 40 years that the children of Israel roamed around in the wilderness? That's a time of trial. Jesus here had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, listen, afterward he was hungry. Then's when Satan came to him. When he was hungry. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. You ever thought about a preacher preaching to the congregation, trying to get people saved eternally from heaven? And seeing that nobody's come down to the mourner's bench and give their heart to Jesus, we need to start working on the church members. Are you sure that you're a child of God? Are you sure that you're going to heaven? I mean, just pounding time after time. You know what I found out this to be? And I used to do it too. It's harassment of the children of God. You know why it's harassment? Because they're the only one that understands what he's even saying. The dead don't even care. They don't even worry. And I got to thinking about a mama bird that come up to a little bird nest. And this is the way the children of God, they come to church and they're starving to death. They want something to eat. Well, here comes this mama bird up to the bird nest and all those little birds sitting there with their mouths open. And that mama bird's got a worm in her mouth, but she don't give them something to eat. She says, are you sure you're birds? Is that not the same way that people are today? Are you sure that you're a child of God? You better make sure. And they just worry about this all the time. Poor little children of God. They need comfort. They need feeding. And they don't even care about that. They worry about them getting to heaven. And it's all God's work. Why don't we just let God have his way? Don't worry so much about that. For we know in part. We prophesy in part. But when that which is imperfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. It'll be done away with. I'm talking about the faith.
That sin in part is going to be dealt with. Why? Because we're going to fully see then. When I was a child, now what in the world? How in the world are we going to connect this? When I was a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I came a man, I put away childish things. How in the world are we going to connect with this other verse? It seems like it's out of place, don't it? Look at us being on earth as a child, seeing by faith. When we get to heaven, we're a man. We put away childish things. When I was a child, I speak as a child. You know what I'm doing now? I'm speaking as a little child. You know why? Because I can't see it plain. I can't see that I'm a child of God without a shadow of doubt, so I have to talk about it just like I'm a little child. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm not going to be a man until I get on the other side. When I get on the other side, I'm not going to speak as a child no more. I'm not going to prophesy in part. I'm not going to know in part then. All that's going to be done away with. For now we see through a glass darkly. You ever pulled up to the red light and looked over in another car, and that car's got tinted windows? You know there's somebody in there, but you can't see them plain. I've done that a lot of times, but you know, that's a dark glass. But you know, there ain't nothing wrong with the glass we're looking through. There's something wrong with our vision. That's the reason the Bible said is we see through a glass dark. It doesn't say we see through a dark glass, but we see through a glass darkly. It's our vision that's messed up. It's not the glass. We can't see things plain, can we? We see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Now we're looking through a glass darkly. When we get to heaven, it's going to be face to face. Listen to this now. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known. I know in part right now. I believe I've got a hope. I'm looking through a glass darkly. I can't see it. And sometimes my vision gets real dim, especially when I have a lot of trouble and a lot of trials in life. My vision gets real dim then. This old preacher said one time, sometimes the way gets dark, said I can't hardly see the highway. But after a while, God clears the fog back and I can see highway number one again. How sweet it is when God takes away all the fog and we can see. But it'll never be all took away until we get to heaven with it. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to look through a glass darkly. Now we know in part, but then face to face. I just know in part right now. I just see a little bit of it. Thank God for just the little crumbs, though it falls. Just a little bit, that